Tested live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Yes, creating wealth is what we all talk about, especially here on this show. Whether it's evaluating various sectors, equities, stocks, businesses, even other asset classes that might be able to prove to be great long-term investment prospects. But if there's anything that we've spoken about of late in the last few days, has to be the sell-off that we saw in the market. In as much as we've recovered right now, that's because investors bought the dip. After the significant sell-off, what typically happens is that market participants say, hold on, that stock looks cheap, that valuation's dropped, maybe this one is at a price that I'm comfortable buying because I'd like to see it elevate again. That is typically how investors do find great opportunity in the market, especially traders. But not every particular buying stock recommendation is one that you should go into blindly. And someone who knows all about this and often helps us in navigating the terrain in terms of the world of investment is Finance Ghost. He joins us this evening as a retail analyst to help us unpack this topic. Ghost, such a pleasure to speak to you. Boy, oh boy, has it been a busy couple of days.
It has been a busy couple of months, I think, yeah. And I'm quite tired. I see you've got Rory McIlroy on the TV in the background there. I've got to tell you, that's part of the reason I'm tired today. So, big weekend of sport, busy few weeks. No, it's been chaotic. To be honest, the golf was less emotional than the markets, so I think that tells you everything, really.
That's refreshing to hear, right? Because so often we think it's such a technical game and can also be filled with emotions. But as you say, the markets have really taken us on a bit of a roller coaster ride, and it's created great opportunity, but also caused a great level of panic. And maybe let's just start there. Your reflections on where we are today versus where we were on Friday looks like chalk and cheese to me here, Ghost.
Yeah, look, I've got to tell you, I would be very nervous of reading anything into daily moves. I mean, my dad was calling me every day last week, you know, and he's not in the markets. Like, oh, did you see how much the S&P did today? Like, Dad, stop it. You can't look at the one-day move.
Exactly.
And assume anything. And it's always when people who don't look at the markets are now actively following it, then you know you are in hype central and a lot is going on out there. So my dad's a great litmus test, actually. You know, you just don't know. What's driving it at the moment is every word that comes out of President Trump's mouth. So if you can guess for me what he's going to say tomorrow, Gugu, then you're going to make a lot more money than me because I'm nowhere near brave enough to make any of those guesses. There's just no way of knowing, literally.
Trust me, I'm one of those who sits on his Twitter page just waiting to see what next he's going to tweet, because ultimately that might play an influence on the market. And speaking of his Twitter page, that's actually one of the tweets that he shared last week, that this would be a good time to buy. And again, not necessarily investment advice, but for us as retail investors, we really should take this kind of advice, quote unquote, with a pinch of salt. And you're here to tell us why.
Look, absolutely. I mean, Trump is obviously a bit of a ridiculous situation, right? Because when he says that, he can then actually do something that makes the markets go up, which is right? Market manipulation 101. So I'm sure the Democrats are going to be all over that. But, you know, let's take that crazy example out of the loop if we can.
Sure.
And rather look at just this normal sort of stuff that you see online. Yes, you've got to be really careful on, you know, people will throw out recommendations of, oh, this is a great buy. Now, number one, that's someone's opinion. And if you haven't done the work to figure out why they might feel that way, then you're basically, you may as well just do sports betting, you know, or in fact, you probably have more of an idea of what sport to bet on than you do in terms of what stock to be buying if you're just going on blind tips like that. And I think even where someone is right and they're actually trying to share some genuine research they've done, you know, maybe they're not necessarily a professional and they don't quite know how to actually word it properly to not get themselves into trouble, etc. But even with all of that, you know, you've got to ask yourself, is it a good buy for me? It's not just whether or not it's a good buy. It's a good buy for my portfolio based on the other stuff I have and my risk tolerance and all of that good stuff around understanding your own personality as an investor. It's not for everyone. So, for example, there were a few things I bought in the past week where I'm okay if they continue to go down because I know why I've bought them. I'm not trading those stocks. I've bought those stocks long term. I don't care if they drop another 10% before they go up again. It doesn't bother me. It's my money. I made the decision.
Yeah.
But when it's someone else, you know, imagine if I'd said to my dad last week, oh, I know exactly what you should do. You know, you should go buy that, Dad. You should go buy that dip. And then it goes down another 5%. Then he phones me the next day. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to be really, really careful with this stuff, whether you're giving the tips, frankly, or receiving them.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because sometimes we even get tempted to ask you as market specialists to say, buy, hold, sell. And as you said, it's not that simple. It's really whether or not this is a good buy for me is what the investor needs to ask. Let's talk about timing as well. And you've got an interesting example around De Beers here, the diamond miner, and how timing also plays a significant factor as to when you decide to purchase a stock.
Yeah, and it's also just the reason for the dip. So the timing, is it a short-term dip? Is it a, oh, the market's had a bit of a panic, but everything might actually be okay? I mean, I had a look at Delta Airlines in the US today, just one sort of silly example. I mean, that share price has absolutely nosedived. And, you know, there are good reasons for that. But obviously, if the tariff situation kind of blows over, then it should just pretty much bounce back to where it was. You know, that's a short-term thing. Something like De Beers is a much more structural problem around lab-grown diamonds and how it's disrupting the diamond market. Another one at the moment that I wouldn't go anywhere near is the automotive sector. I think that the European brands are in huge trouble. I think that the dealership networks that represent them are also sitting with a pretty serious problem. I mean, we saw a pretty bad trading update from, I think it was CMH recently. So those for me are not dips. Yes, they might be dipping now at the same time as everything else, but those are structural declines. And then the dip is just on top of that. Whereas, you know, Microsoft dropping below its 52-week high, or 52-week low, rather, all the way below that, is a dip. It's a classic dip. Is Microsoft fine long-term? Yes. You know, in my opinion, strong yes. It's my sort of ride-or-die stock. I think it will be just fine. And I have a million reasons for that. You know, so that's a temporary dip, in my opinion, at least.
Got you. Now, I'm so tempted to ask you about Apple because, geesh, after the weekend news flow, they also find themselves in a precarious position, but their share price also recovered ever so slightly today.
Yeah, again, it's that, like, you know, good luck trying to figure out what Trump is going to say next, right? One day it's tariffs, then it's there's a special carve-out, and you wonder what sort of lobbying is going on in the background. I personally would be very nervous to be short any of those names because all you need is one announcement like Trump coming out and saying, oh, you know, you're not actually going to deal with tariffs on this, or, you know, something else like Apple manages to announce some exciting new hardware. It's very risky to be on the wrong side of a trade like that. So I would be very nervous of something like that. Having said that, Apple was not one of the dips that I bought, actually, because I think they're a stock that's still trading on how cool the iPhone has been. You know, the iPhone came out in 2007. What have they done since then that is genuinely spectacular? It's all been iterative, right? Mm-hmm. Interesting point. Berkshire Hathaway has reduced some of its exposure to Apple. So that's Warren Buffett. I think we can all agree that, you know, it's so cliche to reference him, but it's cliche for a reason. Yeah. I had a look at Berkshire recently and it's amazing how they were positioned coming into this year. Lots of cash, lots of treasuries, lower number of equities. You know, these guys have got reputations for a reason.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. And he's certainly in it for the long game. And he's often mentioned, I guess, you know, is it when the tide goes out? I forgot the line.
Yeah, it's the blood on the street thing. That's, you know, there are so many references to him that it's almost, it just becomes like a Chuck Norris situation where there's just jokes about him and it's all this stuff where the man is just larger than life.
Yeah.
But Buffett is amazing. And the way he writes is incredible. I would actually encourage anyone who genuinely enjoys the markets, go read a Berkshire Hathaway annual letter. It really is quite entertaining, and you'll be astounded at how basic the Berkshire website is. It looks like it was built in DOS. I don't know if you've ever been on it,
but do yourself
a favor. Go check it out. It is pretty hilarious.
100%. Okay, well, we've got some homework for today. Another theme that you've also mentioned, which I think is so critical, Ghost, is not only the timing of the purchase, the news flow of that particular company, but also, quote unquote, the right price. And I think sometimes as retail investors, we don't often apply our minds to this often because it's the dividend yield and the PE ratio. And then, you know, further calculations to take a look at, you know, what the future earnings of the business might actually be. But help us unpack that a little bit further.
Yeah, like absolutely. So, you know, just because something is down 10% doesn't mean it's a buy. It could still be 50% overvalued. Mm-hmm. And there are obviously, I mean, it's years and years and years of practical experience in academic trading to figure out how to do that. Or you can also just learn some somewhat, I don't want to say basic skills. None of this is basic, but just a little bit of logic. You know, if something has gone absolutely to the moon and you used to pay, you know, 10 times earnings for it, and now you're paying 25 times earnings for it, that's because the market thinks it's going to grow like crazy. If you have very good reasons to believe that maybe it's not going to grow like crazy, then just because it's dropped 10%, it probably hasn't dropped enough. You know, that's just a very basic example, obviously. But I think the important lesson here is just because something dipped does not mean it's definitely coming back. We've had this. We've been kind of drunk on success in the markets for the past few years, rather. Lots of loose monetary policy, etc. That is changing now. So just be very, very careful. There's lots of examples in history where stuff goes down and takes years to recover, not months or weeks or days.
100%. And also understanding, as you've mentioned, you know, what you're doing with the recommendation. If you're in it for the long term, understand why you're buying it for 5 years plus and even longer as an outlook versus those who are looking to trade on the market, because that's a completely different ball game. And I think this brings us to a pertinent point then, Ghost. And you must get this question asked, jeesh, almost everywhere you go, for those who happen to know your level of expertise, is, you know, is this a good stock? What do you make of this? Should I buy? Should I hold? Should I sell? And as you've mentioned, is it a good buy for me? So I guess take us through additional questions or principles we need to bear in mind before we just find ourselves catching onto a wave to purchase stocks and buy in the dips.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think I must frustrate my friends endlessly because, I mean, they've kind of learned to stop asking because there's no upside for me, right? I give them a great
Ghost.
Tip.
You're
they
that
do
friend
well
at the
in
bride.
It and they make money.
You're that friend at the brand. We probably think you just want to make money alone, Ghost, huh? You're not leading us in.
if I was guaranteed to make money every time I did something in the market, I'd happily share it with them. But like I said earlier, it's one thing wearing your own loss. It's quite another when it's your, you know, your friend who followed this little tip, or, you know, I've learned the hard way with that. So I try and avoid that now. And look, what I will say is this, people forget this, but South Africa is a very high interest rate environment. So if you're sitting on debt, you're paying off a mortgage, you're paying off a car, people are very quick to say, oh, I want to go buy shares. Like, your debt is costing you 11% a year after tax.
Yeah.
Good luck beating that in the markets. It's not realistic. So I always say to people, I know this is not the sort of sexy answer, but sometimes you need to just go and say, okay, actually the right thing to do right now is pay off my debt. And then it's to do tax-free savings. All of the quote-unquote boring advice that you're going to get from your financial advisor, well, that's why they are your financial advisor. So that I think is key, is to just not get too attracted to the gambling element of it and the hype and the big flashy thing on the screen. Just remember how this fits into your broader life. You know, that's something that people forget. It's very easy to get carried away.
100%. We're not in it for a quick buck. It definitely is a long-term game. And as you've mentioned, you've quoted the likes of Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett. They've been in it for a while. And I think that just speaks to the kind of principles that we're looking to follow.
Absolutely. They've been in it for a long while. And if you read Buffett's letters, even though I think he's now 94, he thinks he'll still be in it for a long while. Quite a remarkable individual, truly. But some of that long-term thinking is well worth understanding, or at least assess, okay, I'm a trader. This is actually the way I want to be seen and the way I want to learn these skills. But if you are a trader, you're looking at totally different things to someone who's an investor. Mm. And I think that's an important point. You know, you've got to have a different toolbox then.
100%. Ghost, it's always such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Truly, truly appreciate it. So thank you kindly. And I won't be surprised if we speak to you in a week's time with a different element after Trump's tweets or another announcement. But hey, it's part of the life that we chose. So we'll keep invested and follow through with the news.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ghost. That's Finance Ghost, retail analyst, helping us unpack and figure out, again, pause, reflect. Do your research. Just because you do see a sell-off in the market doesn't necessarily mean that you need to buy into the dip completely. There are some stocks that, have different variations. And most importantly, when you look at a stock and you ask yourself, should I buy, hold, or sell? Rather ask yourself, is this a good buy for me? That's what Ghost mentioned. And I think that's so critical because we're all in this investment game for different reasons, for different outlooks and for different outcomes and results. So make sure that it does suit your risk appetite. If you're a trader, that's one for the rough riders. The ones whose stomachs can really bear the upheaval and manage their stop losses. But let us know. This last hour, we've given you so much insight into just a better understanding yet again of the global market dynamics. Truth be told, you can tell by the tone in my voice that there's never been a more exciting time for me in my career, especially given the volatility that we've been witnessing in the market. But as has been mentioned by several of my guests, this is not because we're in a financial crisis. It's one person, one administration that unfortunately is flip-flopping, uncertain, creating this level of uncertainty within the market. And as a result, This is why we see the sell-off on the equity space, the recovery that has taken place in the last day, and of course, even the increased buying within safe haven assets like gold. Truth is, if there was just a lot more clarity, we wouldn't have experienced what we saw just last week. But let us know your thoughts. 063-688-0959. In a moment, we're going to give you more details and insight into the practicalities of our pocket. Remember that VAT increase? Yep. We touched on it just last week to get you a better understanding of how it will currently be implemented on the 1st of May. We're well aware there's still some political shifts taking place, but if you happen to be an entrepreneur, we're going to help you understand how businesses can boost employee value amid shrinking income, especially because we will be strained in terms of our pockets. And of course, beyond that, we're going to take a look at the luxury goods sector and give you some clarity regarding the intersection between luxury goods and financial crimes, how criminals essentially can use luxury goods to move large sums of money across borders without detection. Yay! Those LV duffel bags.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.